This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs and Ti Xiao Yig. So earlier, more twists and turns in that long-standing dispute on the proposed development project on Taman Rimba Kiara. But now we turn our attention to fake news.
So we're asking you on Twitter, what do you do when you receive messages related to COVID-19 on social media? 97.3%, that's a lot of you, have said that you will check first that it's accurate. 2.7% said that you will forward or share it immediately.
Shame on you.
Yes. Heartening to note that lots of you are checking first. And please continue taking that poll and share your other thoughts with us about, you know, the kinds of posts and forwarded messages that you're getting related to COVID-19 right now. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. And, you know, if you're in any WhatsApp chat group, that's everyone, literally, you are more than likely to have received forwarded messages in the last few months on COVID-19, again, every single person. And it is also more than likely that at least a few of them were fake news. Now, fake news being shared on online and digital platforms is something we've been contending with for the better part of a decade now, but this recent pandemic seems to have sent the sharing of misinformation into overdrive.
Yeah, and we've spoken a fair amount on the station about the importance of media literacy and of curbing the spread of fake news. But today we're going to be looking at it from a more, shall we say, youthful angle. From the perspective of a generation raised on the internet. So hashtag Ambil Tahu is an initiative spearheaded by a group of university students to address the importance of media literacy when it comes to the COVID-19 pandemic.
So Ambil Tahu is an initiative under the Democracy Discourse series, a project initiated by Dr. Gayathri Venkateswaran from the School of Media, Languages and Cultures at University of Nottingham, Malaysia. And the aim of this project is to promote digital media literacy and political awareness among Malaysian youths.
Yeah, but before we get into that, just a little bit of background on why times of crisis like we're currently facing becomes fertile ground for the spreading of fake news. So this is because many people are basically in what we can, in what can be described as panic mode. You know, they're scared and they want an answer, an easy answer at that, to what they're facing. So according to scientific journalist Ray Herbert, who studies human behavior, humans are innately drawn to wanting easy solutions. And if you look at a large amount of the fake news people share, this tends to be a common thread. Doctors and scientists talking about COVID-19 don't yet have an easy solution because there isn't one. And, you know, according to these unverified forwards, you know, warm water or turmeric or ginger definitely helps, you know,
or rasam.
And this false certainty in the face of so much confusion has a certain allure to many people.
Yeah, and people are also feeling like they aren't in control, and sharing these news and updates gives them a sense of being able to do something, anything, right? Just to have some amount of control over the current situation. And immediately sharing a so-called new update on the situation, for example, helps you get that feeling of control. But unfortunately, there's also results in incorrect information on government decisions being spread around. So for instance, when fake news of a total lockdown here in Malaysia was spread before the movement control order was implemented.
Yeah, and finally, there are also plenty of studies that indicate that we're so easily seduced by fake news because they feed into biases that we already hold. So for instance, stereotypes we might have against certain groups of people.
But there is some indication that our battle against misinformation and fake news can be won or at least handled, especially if we consider the fact that many of our youth today, as you said earlier, Juliet, are much more internet savvy than those of us who came before. They grew up with the internet, and studies indicate that they might have a healthy skepticism of things that older people might take for granted online.
Yes, according to a 2017 report done by Common Sense Media on American children and youths, about 75% of them did not think news posted online was very accurate. And over in the UK, a study by the National Literacy Trust's 2018 Commission on Fake News showed that half of young people are worried about not being able to identify fake news. And what both these studies have in common is that they show that many young people are very much aware of and concerned about fake news and are interested in figuring out ways to educate themselves.
Yes, and as we said earlier, hashtag Ambil Tahu is an initiative built on this premise to engage with young people and increase their awareness of fake news. So they kicked things off just this past weekend with a webinar on on media literacy and COVID-19. And earlier today, I reached out to one of the co-leads of Ambil Tao, Muhammad Farhan Shami Abdullah, and I began by asking him to explain the initiative's background and aims.
Before I get into the details of the project itself, I want to talk about the big project, the research project that we're doing, which is Democracy Discourse Series. So what DDS basically is a research project under Prof. Gayatri Venkateswaran. He's a lecturer in School of Media, Languages and Culture in Nottingham. So she has recruited about 6 students who are interested in the fields of discourse, democratic discourse, and that ranges all the way from educational issues, environmental issues, all the way into media literacy, which is something that me and my other co-lead, Nabila, is keen on. So to touch more specifically on Ambil Tahu, it's mostly a response to how currently the media portrays COVID-19 as this huge monster that we should all be worried about, that we should all be keen about. And that might get a bit overwhelming for people who throughout the RMO forget how it actually started, what's actually happening. So Hashtag Ambil Tahu is an initiative mostly to recontextualize the discussion, starting back from how it all first started and the media's role in making that, in evolving that singular point of origin into disseminating what we know now today.
And who is your target audience for the project?
Our target audience are the youth, specifically university students, mostly because another small secondary goal that we'd like to encourage to these participants is to step up and reclaim their roles as youth who can provide social change. So by targeting university students, we are able to perhaps give them more or less a starter kit if they want to start doing anything on social media.
And you've just run an Ambil Tahu webinar over the weekend. You know, could you share a little bit about that and maybe whether there are any further plans under this project?
What we've had recently with the Ambil Tahu webinar is to get a forum which includes 4 speakers from 4 different backgrounds. We got newsrooms backgrounds, we got youth NGO perspectives, we have youth civil society efforts that are currently disseminating, accepting crowd-funded donations and disseminating food to people who are needy. And we also have content creators who create content based on COVID-19 and talking about it in a mental health perspective. So what we aimed to do in this forum is mostly to have a multi-stakeholder approach to the issue of COVID-19 and social media. And other than that, we had a discussion, breakout discussion with different groups, and each of these groups are focusing on different particular areas of social media. Mm-hmm. And after that, they shared some of their discussed best practices for the public.
So, as you've mentioned, your project is concerned with media literacy, of which fake news is one big aspect. But even the term media literacy, what does that mean, actually? What is media literacy as a whole?
Perhaps to give an easy picture of what media literacy is, I want to perhaps bring up something that's very common to us, and that is when we were small, our parents usually told us stories. They usually told us fairy tales about Hansel and Gretel, perhaps going up the hill. Basically, these are stories that are teaching kids about what the world is, what morals we should do, and it provides a narrative of who's good and who's evil. Mm-hmm. But as we grow older, we start getting this illusion with these fairy tales, and we know them for what it is. Even though it may be based on true morals that is supposed to be upheld by members of the society. In effect, it's just a story. It's a part of fiction. So similarly, that could be brought into media as well, in which it's mostly an understanding of media as a form of communication. And by that, it's more or less upholding that news in itself isn't necessarily true. It may as well, it's fairly similar to a fairy tale, in which it has narratives, it's trying to say who's good and evil. What's different from fairy tales is that news are based on true events. However, it's the part where it's the idea that news must be inherently true is what media literacy is trying to help people get disillusioned of.
And can you explain why media literacy is so important right now during this pandemic?
So by having media literacy, it's mostly to understand that what are the uses of media currently in this pandemic. And the first one is as a source of information, because right now that is mostly our primary way of engaging with the world and engaging with knowing what's happening out there. So in fact, before this whole RMO started, we first heard of this virus spreading through China, and we called it the Wuhan virus. And people my age kept making jokes like, "Oh, you see a Chinese person coughing, it's probably he's carrying the Wuhan virus." So earlier on, it was definitely a source of information, but it was taken quite lightly. So it's to understand that we are currently living in a world, we are currently living in an era, or rather a certain point in time, in which our view of the world is curated by what we're learning, by what we're listening to, and by what we're reading through the media. So we have to be careful as to what kind of information that we are taking in, and we have to be careful as to whether or not it's true, as well as to know what kind of narrative is it trying to build.
And, you know, we do see a lot of fake news being shared because people aren't perhaps paying close enough attention to what you just said, right? Are we, what is the narrative and all that? Why do you think people have a tendency to share news that they are not even sure of in the first place?
That's a good question, Xiao Yi. One thing that I noticed, especially when it comes to WhatsApp groups and Facebook discussions, most of the people who share this fake news, bear in mind, they don't know that it's fake. They aren't sure. They don't know that this may be fabricated or this part of news have been manipulated. All they know is that this might be true. So one of the more, if we try to understand more about these people who disseminate this kind of news, is that they are trying to help, actually. They are doing this out of sheer goodwill, mostly because they understand that outside there, a lot of people are dying, situations are looking grim. So as much as they can, they want to try to help. So perhaps they feel like by sharing any form of news, not knowing whether it's fake or not, this might be their attempt of helping out. Other than that, this could also be a way for them as an attempt for democracy. And it's something that can be brought up, especially since a lot of people are now sitting in their homes. They feel like their voices aren't reaching out. So they want to try creating or taking part in discussions, in societal discussions. So in order to do that, perhaps by showing different parts of news, they are able to take part in those kinds of discussions.
But there are potentially negative repercussions of this kind of sharing, aren't there?
Yep, definitely. It's wide-ranging. It goes all the way from minor issues such as gargling salt, which in retrospect doesn't harm anyone much. It's just It just looks like something stupid, lah. But other than minor issues like that, a huge repercussion, and this is something that we have to be aware of, is major repercussions that it could have to us in terms of our well-being as well as our unity. So by well-being, what I'm saying is that there was rumors going around that alcohol could kill viruses. Mm-hmm. Therefore, people started drinking alcohol, and there's some cases in which patients from other countries have been drinking alcohol to try to keep themselves safe from this virus. However, unfortunately, they get alcohol poisoning from drinking a lot of contrabands, and that is very unfortunate. Other than that, there's also these fake news saying that this virus was created as a bioweapon by the Chinese to halt our economy and just burn everything to the ground, which is definitely not. I mean, there's no way for that. That's something that requires a lot of suspension of disbelief. And it's definitely something that is geared to make someone an enemy, just so that we can say we're not at fault with this. There's someone evil out there that wants to hurt us.
Since you are targeting your project at youths, what are your thoughts on the level of media literacy among Malaysian youths today? Do they generally take the issue of fake news seriously?
I definitely can't say for sure about how youth engage with fake news, mostly because I am not of any credibility to create a wide-ranging survey that goes all the way from urban areas to rural areas. Mm-hmm. However, what I can say about fake news is that since we are still looking at WhatsApp posts and Twitter posts that are retweeting and rehashing fake news, it is rather concerning to see that happening, not only by the old people who we often would blame, oh, me boomer, they don't know how to use internet. It's also happening from youths as well. So media literacy in terms of youth is something that could be worked on. It's definitely something that could be worked on. But we have seen an increase of different initiatives that are trying to tackle that. For example, we have UNICEF, we have Cybersecurity Malaysia. These are just to name a few, that are making youth-oriented activities to engage with the youth to instill a sense of skepticism whenever they look at news. So what these initiatives do, as well as what we are trying to do here in Ambil Tahu and Democracy Discourse Series, is that whenever you are facing any type of news, it is better to assume it is fake first, rather than to assume it's true. It's mostly taking inspiration from philosophical skepticism, in which you don't believe in anything, reduce them to nothingness, and only build upon them once you are certain that you know what it is. So by the kind of things that we can build upon to know whether it's true or not, is first to check the sources. If it's from a government website, if it's from, say, WHO, and you know it's directly from WHO, the website, rather than perhaps your uncle's picture saying it's from WHO, then you can at least see that those sources are legitimate. Other than that is to see what kind of subtext they are trying to say. For example, if the article, this is something that I'm having some trouble with articles, they are talking about cluster kayangan, cluster tablik. Mm-hmm. These are all talking about instances that are not specific. So it's really hard to verify and know whether it's true or not. But what these stories about the cluster kayangan and cluster tablik is doing is creating a narrative of who's good and who's bad in this kind of situation. So while I'm not saying that it might not be true, I'm rather saying that if we were to be skeptical about this, if we were to practice media literacy on this, it's better for us to be skeptical on whether or not this is true, mm-hmm. mostly because we want to stay away from the repercussions that it might bring. So a repercussion that might be brought by believing in the goodness and the badness of these clusters is that we will have a singular mind on lambasting and blaming a certain collective and hating them blindly. And that's really not something that we should be doing, especially in these kind of times.
So that was Muhammad Farhan Shami Abdullah, co-lead of the hashtag Ambil Tau initiative. As he explained, this initiative is part of the democracy discourse by the School of Media, Languages and Cultures at University of Nottingham, Malaysia. And also over on Twitter, we were asking you, what do you do when you receive messages related to COVID-19 on your social media platforms? And we know we've been receiving those in bucket loads, haven't we?
Yes.
I mean, it's quite encouraging to see that almost 97% of you have said that you check that it's accurate. Only 3.1% of you said that you forward or share it immediately. Although, of course, I'm sure many of us are perhaps embellishing the truth a little bit.
Just a tad, maybe.
I'm only saying this judging by the amount of fake news that I do receive that's forwarded to me on WhatsApp that I see being posted on my social media platforms. And I think perhaps that level of skepticism, which is what Farhan brought up, is not really prevalent there. We have a couple of comments. Ivan Low said, it's good to know that most people have their heads screwed on, right? And Dinglefoot says, he or she does neither, just ignores the messages. And oh, well, I guess there are some of us who actually prefer to do that instead, right?
Yes.
Because you don't know what you're receiving, the authenticity or the veracity of what you're receiving.
Exactly. And so I suppose, you know, for me, and I get this a lot in my neighbourhood chat group, a lot of messages come prefaced with, is this real? Is this accurate?
But it's still forwarded.
It's still forwarded, you know, and then they're waiting for somebody to sort of, I guess, you know, prove it for them. Mm. But really the onus should be on us before we send forwards
yes,
like that.
Because the risk of doing that is that somebody else is not going to read your, is this true part or they're just going to think, well, I will just forward it on to somebody else and ask, is this true?
And that's how we get chain letters.
We must stop this. But, you know, I really think I, for one, take the distrust everything until it's proven approach.
Yes.
I don't know about you.
Yes, I would agree. I think that's the way to go forward now. Even messages that are purported to be from an agency like the World Health Organization,
yes,
or the Ministry of Health have very often been disproved by those agencies themselves. If you visit the Ministry of Health's Facebook page, they're constantly
busting.
Busting the fake news that have been viral.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, Ministry of Health, Malaysia, a great place to look for the authoritative sources of updates and information.
That's right. Even the WHO's official website, right? Mm. They're disproving everything. It's to me very strange that people actually make these, you know, forwards and then put like an organization's name there, you know, take that effort just to send.
I'm wondering who has the time and effort to do these things.
Obviously, maybe stuck at home, right? Nothing.
But very malicious.
Malicious, that is the exact word. So hopefully, you know, anything that you're going to forward, especially, you know, to older people, I feel they are more susceptible to it. Really do, you know, check it out on these verified websites before you forward it. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. But if you have any thoughts, you can continue to share that with us. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. And if you've missed any part of the show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can also look for us on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m., it is our new segment under the MCO, which is called Try This at Home. And today we are learning to sew, I think an incredibly useful skill, perhaps more relevant now than ever. So the folks from the Evening Edition will be talking to Ching Eng, who is from Maker's Habitat. So that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. For now, we leave you with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Don't Do Me Like That. This has been the Bigger Picture on, this has been the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.